Welcome to day 51 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to the Hebrew Bible, reading Numbers 34 to 36. The boundaries of the land. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the Israelites and say to them, when you have entered the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall to you for an inheritance, the land of Canaan defined by its boundaries. Your south sector shall extend from the wilderness of Zin along the side of Edom. Your southern boundary shall begin from the end of the Dead Sea on the east. Your boundary shall turn south of the ascent of Akrabim and cross to Zin, and its outer limit shall be south of Kadesh Barnea. Then it shall go to Hazar Adar and cross to Asmon. The boundary shall turn from Asmon to the Wadi of Egypt, and its termination shall be at the sea. For the western boundary, you shall have the great sea and its coast. This shall be your western boundary. This shall be your northern boundary. From the great sea, you shall mark out your line to Mount Hor. From Mount Hor, you shall mark it out to Lebo Hamath. And the outer limit of the boundary shall be Zedad. Then the boundary shall extend to Ziphron, and its end shall be Hazar Anan. This shall be your northern boundary. You shall mark out your eastern boundary from Hazar Anan to Shepham. And the boundary shall continue down from Shepham to Riblah on the east side of Ain. And the boundary shall go down and reach the eastern slope of the Sea of Chinnereth. And the boundary shall go down to the Jordan, and its end shall be at the Dead Sea. This shall be your land with its boundaries all around." Moses commanded the Israelites, saying, "This is the land that you shall apportion by lot, which the Lord has commanded to give to the nine tribes and the half tribe. For the tribe of the Reubenites by their ancestral houses, and the tribe of the Gadites by their ancestral houses, have taken their inheritance, and also the half tribe of Manasseh. The two tribes of the half tribe have taken their inheritance beyond the Jordan at Jericho, eastward towards the sunrise." Tribal leaders. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "These are the names of the men who shall apportion the land to you for inheritance, the priest Eleazar and Joshua son of Nun. You shall take one leader of every tribe to apportion the land for inheritance. These are the names of the men: of the tribe of Judah, Caleb son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of the Simeonites, Shemuel son of Amihud; of the tribe of Benjamin, Elidad son of Chislon; of the tribe of the Danites, a leader, Bukai, son of Jogli; of the Josephites, of the tribe of Manasseh, a leader, Haniel, son of Ephod; and the tribe of the Ephraimites, a leader, Kamul, son of Shaphan; of the tribe of the Zebulunites, a leader, Elizaphar, son of Parnak; of the tribe of the Issacharites, a leader, Paltiel, son of Azan; and of the tribe of the Asherites, a leader, Ahihud, son of Shalomi; of the son of the Naphtalites, a leader, Pedahel, son of Amihud. These were the ones whom the Lord commanded to apportion the inheritance for the Israelites in the land of Canaan. Cities for the Levites. In the plains of Moab by the Jordan, opposite Jericho, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the Israelites to give from the inheritance that they possess towns for the Levites to live in, and you shall also give to the Levites pasture land surrounding the towns. The towns shall be theirs to live in, and the pasture land shall be for their cattle, for their livestock, for all their animals. The pasture lands of the towns which you shall give to the Levites shall reach from the walls of the town outward 1,000 cubits all around. You shall measure outside the town for the east side 2,000 cubits, for the south side 2,000 cubits, for the west side 2,000 cubits, and for the north side 2,000 cubits. With a town in the middle, this shall belong to them as pasture lands for their towns. The towns that you have given to the Levites shall include the six cities of refuge, where you shall permit a slayer to flee, and in addition to them you shall give 42 towns. The towns that you give to the Levites shall total 48 with their pasture lands. And as for the towns that you shall give from the possession of the Israelites, from the larger tribes you shall take many, and from the smaller tribes you shall take few. each in proportion to the inheritance that it obtained, shall give of its town to the Levites. Cities of refuge. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the Israelites and say to them, When you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall select cities to be cities of refuge for you, so that a slayer who kills a person without intent may flee there. The cities shall be for you for a refuge from the avenger, so that the slayer may not die until there is a trial before the congregation. The cities that you designate shall be six cities of refuge for you. You shall designate three cities beyond the Jordan and three cities in the land of Canaan to be cities of refuge. These six cities shall serve as refuge for the Israelites, for the resident or transient alien among them, so that anyone who kills a person without intent may flee there. Concerning murder and blood revenge. But anyone who strikes another with an iron object and death ensues is a murderer, and the murderer shall be put to death. Or anyone who strikes another with a stone in hand that could cause death and death ensues is a murderer, and the murderer shall be put to death. Or anyone who strikes another with a weapon of wood in hand that could cause death and death ensues is a murderer, and the murderer shall be put to death. The avenger of blood is the one who shall put the martyr to death. When they meet, the avenger of blood shall execute the sentence. Likewise, if someone pushes another from hatred or hurls something at another, lying in wait, and death ensues, or an enemy strikes another with the hand and death ensues, then the one who struck the blow shall be put to death. That person is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death when they meet. But if someone pushes another suddenly without enmity, or hurls any object without lying in wait, or while handling any stone that would cause death, unintentionally drops it on another, and death ensues, though they were not enemies and no harm was intended, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the avenger of blood in accordance with these ordinances. And the congregation shall rescue the slayer from the avenger of blood. Then the congregation shall send the slayer back to the original city of refuge. The slayer shall live in it until the death of the high priest who is anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time go outside the bounds of the original city of refuge and is found by the avenger of blood outside the bounds of the city of refuge and is killed by the avenger, no blood guilt shall be incurred, for the slayer must remain in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer may return to his property. These things shall be statute and ordinance for you throughout your generations wherever you live. If anyone kills another, the murderer shall be put to death on the evidence of witnesses, but no one shall be put to death on the testimony of a single witness. Moreover, you shall accept no ransom for the life of a murderer who is subject to the death penalty. A murderer must be put to death. Nor shall you accept ransom for the one who has fled to a city of refuge, enabling the fugitive to return to live in the land before the death of the high priest. You shall not pollute the land in which you live, for blood pollutes the land, and no expiation can be made for the land for the blood that is shed in it, except by the blood of the one who shed it. You shall not defile the land in which you live, in which I also dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the Israelites. Marriage of female heirs. The heads of the ancestral houses of the clans of the descendants of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, of the Josephite clans, came forward and spoke in the presence of Moses and the leaders, the heads of the ancestral houses of the Israelites. They said, The Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for inheritance by lot to the Israelites, and my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance for of our brother Zelophehad to his daughters. But if they are married into another Israelite tribe, then their inheritance will be taken from the inheritance of our ancestors and added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they marry. So it will be taken away from the allotted portion of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the Israelites comes, then their inheritance will be added to the inheritance of the tribe into which they have married, and their inheritance will be taken from the inheritance of our ancestral tribe. Then Moses commanded the Israelites according to the word of the Lord, saying, The descendants of the tribes of Joseph are right in what they are saying. This is what the Lord commands concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, "Let them marry whom they think best, only it must be into a clan of their father's tribe that they are married, so that no inheritance of the Israelites shall be transferred from one tribe to another, for all Israelites shall retain the inheritance of their ancestral tribes. Every daughter who possesses an inheritance in any tribe of the Israelites shall marry one from the clan of her father's tribe, so that all Israelites may continue to possess their ancestral inheritance. No inheritance shall be transferred from one tribe to another, for each of the tribes of the Israelites shall retain its own inheritance." The daughters of Zelophehad did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Mahlah, Tirzah, Hogla, Milcah, and Noah, the daughters of Zelophehad, married sons of their father's brothers. They were married into the clans of the descendants of Manasseh, son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in the tribe of their father's clan. These are the commandments and the ordinances that the Lord commanded through Moses to the Israelites in the plains of Moab by the Jordan opposite Jericho. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? We started our reading with God telling Moses the boundaries of the land of Canaan for the Israelites. When looking for the wisdom in the text, where are there boundaries that God has placed upon you? I continue to struggle with God giving land that is already inhabited and wonder how we are to think about land ownership. Now let's move to 2 Corinthians 2, 3, and 4. So I made up my mind not to give another visit that causes you grief. For if I cause you grief, who is there to make me glad but the one whom I grieved? And as I wrote, as I did, so that when I came, I might not suffer from those who shall have made me rejoice. For I am confident about all of you that my joy would be the joy of all of you. For I wrote you out of much distress and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to cause you grief, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. Forgiveness for the offender. But if anyone has caused grief, he has caused it not to me, but to some extent, not to exaggerate it, to all of you. This punishment by the majority is enough for such a person. So now instead, you shall forgive and console him so that he may not be overwhelmed by even worse grief. So I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. I wrote for this reason to test you and to know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. In fact, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ. And we do this so that we may not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Paul's anxiety in Troas. When I came to Troas to proclaim the good news of Christ, a door was opened for me in the Lord, but my mind could not rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said farewell to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. And through us spreads in every place the fragrance that comes from knowing him. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one group, a fragrance from death to death, to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is qualified for these things? For we are not peddlers of God's word like so many, but as persons of sincerity, as persons sent from God, we are speaking in Christ before God. Ministers of the New Covenant. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Surely we do not need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you, do we? You yourselves are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all, and you show that you are a letter of Christ prepared by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets that are human hearts. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are qualified of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our qualification is from God, who has made us qualified to be ministers of a new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry of death, chiseled in letters on stone tablets, came in glory so that the people of Israel could not gaze at Moses' face because of the glory of his face, a glory now set aside, how much more will the ministry of the Spirit come in glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, much more does the ministry of justification abound in glory. Indeed, what once had glory has in this respect lost its glory because of the greater glory. For if what was set aside came through glory, much more has the permanent come in glory. Since then we have such a hope, we act with complete frankness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside, but their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the old covenant, the same veil is still there. It is not unveiled, since in Christ it is set. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over our minds, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Treasure in clay jars. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the mind of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing clearly the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Light will shine out of darkness," who has shown in our heart to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying around in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For we who are living are always being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believed and therefore we also speak. Because we know that the one who raised Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will present us with you in his presence. Indeed, everything is for your sake, so that grace, when it has extended to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Living by faith. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For our slight momentary affliction has produced for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? In the beginning of this letter, Paul is reconciling with the Corinthians following their initial rejection. Paul's description of treasure in clay jars provides language expanding on the repeating theme of our inability to live up to the will of God. I've reflected previously on the question of, are we as humans inherently flawed? Or are we images of God working to live up to God's vision? Paul describes people as afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair. What might it look like in your life to make the life of Jesus visible through your actions? Again, are we asked to see our faith through our acts? Let us end our time in prayer. Our Father, who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done, as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.